So we're holding here on page Chof Gimel. So he briefly reviewed the different metals that are connected, the different Malchias, Zohav and Kesef, and the Choshes and Barzel. I want to, we spoke a little bit about how these represent different elements of domination and Malchus. I just want to add a little bit about the Keneged of Zohav and Kesef. So Zohav being Choshev and important and you know, and so on, that we understand as simple. I want to the second one, Malchus Ashniya Omala Chadur V'droi Diksav Ke Malchus Oyev Lesef Ha'oyshe V'oyev Kesef Le'yispa Kesef. So I want to mention a word about that. The Kesef meaning silver and Kesef meaning coins is not an accident. The Gemara says that Kesef was currency. There was a Shaila of the Gemara in Hazov. The halacha is that kinyonim you make by making mishich on the chayfetz, not by giving money. So if somebody changes silver for gold, there's a question which is the matbea, which is the pri, which is the chefetz. So the Gemara had a havamina Rebbe b'charifusei, Rebbe b'ziknusei, and the Gemara comes out that zohav is the item and kesef is the currency. The partial reason for it is, I guess, a simple economic reason is, there's not enough gold to go around. In order for something to be a coin, if the smallest dollar bill is a $1,000 bill, it's useless. You can't, you'd have to buy soda by the truckload. It would be a problem. So currency requires a small currency and so on. But there's another thing also. It's a whole new metzias in the Bria. If there was no musik of money in the world, and you'd have simple barter, you have payers to payers. I want a pair of shoes. You have an extra pair of pants. I'll give you the shoes you want. You give me the pants I want. It's a direct barter on chafetzin and so on. Currency. The introduction of currency introduces an element that has no value in its own right, but it's kol kuloy eichet timtza for acquiring other things. That's an incredible idea. In other words, there is something which has no value of its own, and all it is eichet timtza for something else. The word kesef means to want, to desire. Nichsafti, nichsoif nichsafti, nichsoif nichsafta. It means, kisufin means yearning. So a person, until without the metzias of kesef in the world, people want objects. So I want a pair of shoes because I need to wear a pair of shoes. I want a suit because I want a suit. And so on. But the idea that you can stockpile it endlessly and it has no tachlis be'etzim, that's specifically realized in Kesef. You have it actually as Shtikl and Yonah Yoima, when it says when Alexander came to the Pastor Echoshech, and he went to Malchus where women were running it, and they gave him gold and silver to eat. They said, I can't eat this. They said, well, I'm sure you have enough bread at home, so you came looking for gold and silver, so eat it. In other words, they were driving home that the senselessness of an unbridled kisufin for things. So kesef is, so people don't want, you don't make real ornaments out of silver. Silver is not what people want actually as the final product is gold. Gold is very nice for jewelry. Silver, its main role is as a chetimtza, so if you have enough silver, you can trade it for gold. So the second malchus that wanted oisher, and the oyev kesef leyispa kesef, that it was something that the Gemara says the second malchus of Paras was like a dove, that it's eating all day and it's always hungry. It's not quiet because it's chemdas hamamim without any tachlis whatsoever to it. That is something about the union of kesef of that's connected to the second malchus. The union of copper. So how does copper produce azus? Where does copper represent azus? So we'll just look at a few things. And again, it's, I have a guess about the tchuna and the metal, but I don't have anything firm. First of all, the meat of daring is to go to a place that's not shayachtis to you, to go beyond where you are. That's the meat of to dare. So the first bria, the nochash, told Adam HaRishon, you can be upgraded to God status if you eat v'etz hadas. In other words, the nochash was the first one that dared kanshevina kadosh baruch hu, and his pitch to Adam HaRishon was, you don't have to be human. You can become a god if you want. It's as simple as eating v'etz hadas. So the whole mohus of a nochash was that. A nochash is the balchai. We see by Kayin Lamashal. All Balachayim had a fear of Adam, an instinctive fear of Adam, and if a person's chait, it goes away, and so on. The nochash is the only one that mitzad, after the chet, mitzad, it's etzem mohus, is v'hu yishuvcha. Okay, he dares to take on Adam without any problems. It's to him the same. Most Balachayim don't easily attack a person. Unless they're hungry, unless they're upset, unless they're frightened. A nochash, it's all the same to him. And therefore, there's a certain element of daring. You find, it's interesting, the Mizbeach of Keteris that they gave on Shekairach was, those Mizbeachs they made were made of nochashes. And again, the reason is because they dared, so to speak, they wanted to go past Rav Lechem Levi. And they want to become Bikashim Gam Kehuna. So Bikashim Gam Kehuna is a certain chutzpah. It's a certain going past the gvulas. Like Asher's over there. Beike, Vieda, Vieda, Lakim. There's gvulas in the Bria. So too there's gvulas in people. And you're going past where you are. The Mizbeach HaNechoshes versus the Mizbeach HaZov. The Mizbeach HaZov took material that be'etzem was shaykh to the Kodesh. Ketores is a very refined material. And being makted on a mizbeach is a very, very it's an appropriate divine worship. Taking blubber and a murim and putting it on a mizbeach is really taking something that's on a choystarga and bringing it into a world that's much higher. It's also a type of daring. I have a hunch that maybe the reason why nechoshes as a metal, nechoshes is kiilu a metal that it sort of resembles gold. It's ki'ilu gold. Kesef makes no pretense. Kesef looks very different. Barzel and Kesef don't look alike at all. Barzel is kind of reddish. Nechoshes is kind of a pretend gold. Maybe that's the word. I don't know. I don't know exactly the metal and how, you know, in mitzad etchun is the metal. I'm not sure about that. But mitzad its usage in the different places, you definitely have that element of it's there when somebody is going beyond. No, Metzach Nechusha, somebody, Metzach Nechusha, you know, spoke about it over the years of Fridays on Pashas Tzav a lot, about somebody who's a Mechutzef, it's called brazen, forehead, it's the word Nochosh, the word Nochush in Hebrew means somebody who's determined against the odds, against, you know, it's a type of azus. Somebody who's nochush bedaiter means he's very, very, he's driven and he's determined, which is sort of the meat of azus. Okay, so now he says in Chof Gimel, ulefi ze, malchus shnia, shehu keneged koyach gufi shebadam, umalchus yovin keneged koyach asichus shebadam. Malchus Yovan is going to koyach seichel shadam. The koyach of seichel is that it goes beyond what greets the senses. Let's understand that every type of learning and understanding is like that. When things that I feel and see with my senses, those are physical interactions. So the sensual feedback that I have when I bang down on this, or I look at this, or I hear it, or something, that's the Metzias way it is. Seichel says, let's see what's beyond this Metzias. What causes it? What can cause it to disintegrate? And what makes it tick, and how do I overcome it? Seichel is that science, the reason why the motivation for science a lot is to conquer the Bria. We don't want to be frightened by this, that we want to understand it and be master over the world. So Seichel by itself is always going past. The whole idea of thinking about something is the data that comes in is my senses. This is what I see, this is what I heard, this is what I feel. Now let's think about it. Is it really like that? Is that the Seif Pasuk? Is this where it's coming from? So Seichel has in itself an Azus, and the person who's an Azus has that Kecha Seichli. More than that, if you think about it, a person responds, if you take a Baal Chai, and you make it painful for her to be in one place and pleasant to be in another place, it will go to the place that is more pleasant. That's how you train Baal Chayim. You have an incentive, a pain incentive on one side, a pleasure incentive on the other side, and the Baal Chai, the quickness of its training is how quickly will it respond, will it figure out that going to this part of the maze is an electric shock, and that part of the maze is a candy, and that's really how we train an animal. A person will be a badafka, and you want me to go to this side of the maze? I don't care if I got shocked, or badafka go to the other side. Where does that come from? The sense of being badafka is something that comes from Seichel and Das. So it says the Vitomi says Shamalchus Ashnei Lohei Kavanas Rak Little Mem Oylamazeh Lahar Galavay Sami Guf Little Mem Oylamazeh Gufni. The second Malchus was all about money. Is it worth leaving around? Klal Yisrael is not worth leaving around. I'll pay 10,000. How much? What's the economic power of the Jews? What's the GDP? I'll pay you for it. And Shalom Yisrael. That's all. That's all that they cared about. That's what it was all about. Malchus Shlishis lo chayzen bakeshes rak litlam matoira sichlis. Olkach roi se Daniel k'ma nomer shu as. So the third Malchus was really struggling with this concept of Torah, which is sichlis over physical things and so on. I want to add a connection to it and try to understand what it means that at the end of the day, Yavin is seichel, we're seichel. So when they're trying to take away our mid of sichlis, where is that exchange happening? So let's understand a certain distinction, very, very sharp distinction, between Chachma of Yavin and Chachma of Klal Yisrael. And understand that in Seichel itself, there are two darkas. One dargah in Seichel is like this. I look around and I see I see things that give me pain, things that give me pleasure. I figure out the common denominator of the stuff that gives me pleasure. And if I eat things that have a lot of this in it, that in it, I get a big stomach ache. If I eat things that have this in it, I feel very good all day. So one thing with Seichel is to figure out what gives you what. Then Seichel says, how do I grow more of this stuff and less of this stuff? And if this is the type of stuff that makes you feel good, this type of stuff makes you feel bad, what other things similar to it would work this way, that way, the other way? Those are all process of Seichel, but they are Seichel within the context of the physical world. The physical world is the big framework. So Lamash, let's take something like contemporary psychology. Contemporary psychology goes along the following lines. People sometimes don't feel well because they have emotional issues, and emotional issues either stop them from doing what they'd like to do, or pain them, create pain, and so on and so forth. Let us figure out the mechanism of those sensations, and let's change it. Let's rectify it so that the person feels good. So the question that psychology answers, the big question is, what gives a person emotional pain? What deters a person from getting more emotional pleasure? What gives a person emotional pleasure? And let's figure out the tools that we have to give a person total shlita on what he has. So for instance, if a person has poor time management skills, or poor executive function, or whatever it is, and he really, really doesn't need them much, he has a big Yerusha, and when he gets up 6 in the morning, or 12 in the afternoon, or 3 in the afternoon, or 6 at night, makes no difference. That's him. Why he doesn't need it. Another person who can't find a job and he's starving needs it, and so on. That's the type of seichel that Yovan had. It's the sum total of the mechanism of nature. There's something called natural morality. Today it's couched in very different terms. Today it's evolution has built in positive traits in us to help preserve the race and try to weed out negative ones. Let's figure out what those are, and then we'll know what we're supposed to, you know, what things are in line with evolution, what things are not. Why that's important, why I need to follow the God of evolution, I haven't figured out yet, but Akpanim, that's what it does. There's another side. There's a question of an seichel has its own values. And even when I come and I use my guf to navigate this world, it's still bound by sichliyastika, by seichel, lemashal, eating. So I can eat in a completely vulgar way, put myself into the cake and so on, because that's what I like, that's what I want, or I come along and I say, it's not in line with me. I'm a bria that's sichlius. I'm a bria of a very different type. And this is very, very physical and coarse. And I'd like to put a stamp of seichel onto the physical world. It's not that the cake tastes better if you eat it like a mensch. It's not if it tastes worse if you jump into it head first and eat it. It doesn't make a difference. But there's some other value. And that value is pure sichlius. And I say to myself, you know, the Atzilus HaNefesh requires that I treat the physical world in a way that I leave a stamp of a sichlistic being. That's sichlius in the sense that we have. Kleisel said, we have a Torah, and the Torah itself is something that is the value because it's pure sichli, and we try to mold the physical world to fit it. I've read a few times, and I can't vouch for it, because I don't know Greek, but I will assume that's correct, just I've seen it enough. There is questions in Aristotle's Ethics and other places about what is virtue, and what is the virtuous way to act. Socrates has it. So I've seen a few times that the word that's used in Greek for virtue doesn't really translate to the way we understand the word virtue today. It means more, what is the most functional and effective way to do something? It's more in the line of the first part, the physical seichel, rather than pure sichlistic seichel. So both types of seichel impose order and structure on the physical world, but there's a huge difference. The first type of seichel, the Yavam seichel, it draws physical values. What is the most efficient way to run a farm? How do I put the pieces in place conceptually so that the farm is most efficient, which is not a pure physical thing, it's kind of a seichelic thing, so that I produce more food. The end of the day is food, except that just grabbing ears of corn doesn't give you the best effect. planting in a certain way, harvesting in a certain way, weeding it in a certain way, that gives us effect. The second one is, the other approach is, what are the values that are the real values of the world, and those are not physical values, and how do I utilize the physical world to realize those values? And that's where you had the sparring between. That's where Yavin was upset. We weren't going to hell this culture, which was their understanding of the world, and we had a much more sikhlis understanding of the world, meaning an abstract understanding of where seichel is the dominant force, and it's not at all about the physical world, it's about a world that's ruchni / seichel, and everything else had to fit with it. Okay, we'll hold it here. Tomorrow is not going to be a show, not going to be a room. I don't know, I maybe slipped.